Hello guys and welcome to Otson CONMEBOL qualifiers for Qatar. Let's analyze the 14th match day with Leo Bachanian. We have Argentina, Brazil, remember, and other four interesting games. Let's analyze everything with Leo and with you. Leave a comment below in the video with your tips and your predictions. And don't forget, if you like our videos, press on the like, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. And now let's go on with the show. Fourteenth match day in the CONMEBOL qualifiers. Leo, we still have a long road to Qatar, whereas in Europe this is almost done. But here we have a lot of excitement. How are you?
How are you, Edu? Yes, only 15 points to play. South American qualifications on the road to Qatar. And the fourth and the fifth slots are very, very exciting, Edu.
Exactly, everything is very packed. We have three teams with 16 points, starting with Uruguay. For instance, now they are out from Qatar, not even from the playoff. They are six. They are traveling always to the difficult ground of La Paz, to the stadium Hernando Siles in the altitude against Bolivia. No good times, Leo, for Uruguay. Probably they deserve more against Argentina. But they conceded a goal, and that Argentina kept that goal as a treasure. Now three defeats in a row for them, four winless games. Only one victory away in this road to Qatar was in Colombia. And we know how strong Bolivia are when they are playing at home. That's why I want to ask you, you see problems here for Uruguay? Won't be easy for sure.
I do see problems, definitely. To be honest, with 1 point only from the last 12 in dispute for the Maestro Tavares men, to travel to La Paz, I believe, is one of the worst scenarios they could have asked for right now. That draw with Colombia in Montevideo seems to have been like ages ago. After that, we come two defeats against Argentina, the last one on Friday, another defeat against Brazil. So the reality is quite tough, to be honest, for Uruguay, Edu. And I don't know if you have been in Uruguay, but if you were at some point in your life in Montevideo, you would know that people there are walking for sure with two things. Well, I will tell you now, they will be walking in the street with three things. Which are these things? The first one, and I'm showing you, is a mate. The second one, you will be seeing people walking now in Uruguay, is a thermos, now to pour the hot water inside the mate. And the third one right now will be a calculator, definitely. Everyone is doing their math to see how many points Uruguay would need to get to Qatar. Let's see, 9 more points out of the 15 in play for Uruguay will take them to a total of 25 points, which can also be reached by other two teams, but hardly by a third one due to the crosses that are going to come ahead. The only thing that could change this calculation that I'm telling you is that if Argentina and Brazil drop their intensity, because Chile, although now living a kind of a honeymoon now, have to face Ecuador tomorrow, and then Argentina, Brazil and Uruguay. And they will also have to travel to La Paz. So also very tough for Chile, the end of this qualification process. Ecuador is visiting Chile, Lima and Asunción, and will still need to host Brazil and Argentina at home. Colombia, meanwhile, seem to have the fixtures which are a little bit more kind for them, because they will play Venezuela, Bolivia, Paraguay and Peru. Only Argentina appears as a match in which they won't be favorites to take 3 points. All this said, yes, I agree with you. Uruguay deserved better luck on Friday. Emiliano Martinez and the post were the only reasons why they couldn't take at least 1 point from that game. It's true that most of the chances they had came from Argentina's mistakes when trying to build from the back, but was also true that those mistakes were made because of the intensity of Maestro Tavares' men, especially in the first half. In La Paz, with the few chances they will have, they should be more clinical in front of goal. Uruguay not only collected 1 point from the last 12, but also scored only one goal in the last four games. And they are still without Cavani, without De La Cruz, without the Arrascaeta, and without Darwin Núñez. For Bolivia, although three of the last five games will be played in the altitude of La Paz, I believe the dream seems over after the 3-0 they suffered in Lima when they were outplayed for most of the match. I have to say, I do not agree either with the bookies' big advantage to Uruguay. I am not saying that Uruguay cannot get the 3 points. They have actually done it in 2015 on the road to Russia with goals from Martin Cáceres and Diego Godín, both who will play actually tomorrow. But I tip Bolivia to win with odds of 3.76. Those who would like to be a bit more conservative but still favor Bolivia, an Asian handicap of 0 for the host comes with odds of 2.74, and goals over 2.5 has odds of 2.23.
Very good odds, as you said, Leo, for backing Bolivia, always strong at home. Last four home games, 3 victories, 1 draw. Only the last defeat was against Ecuador when they are playing in La Paz. Therefore, be careful with this Bolivia-Uruguay if you are backing the favorites, in this case, Uruguay. Then we go to Caracas, Leo. We have Venezuela, Peru. The dream is still alive for Gareca's men. Yeah. They are now in the 7th spot, but only 2 points away from the direct qualifications. They beat Bolivia, as you mentioned before, 3-0 with La Padula and also Cueva scoring 2 of their goals. The problem is that when they are traveling, they suffer. They only beat Ecuador on the road, and Venezuela, they are the worst team in the tournament right now, but at home they were able to beat Ecuador and Chile. So for also maybe Peru should be careful with this game. This is a key game. This is a must win.
It's a must win. Yes, definitely. The match in Caracas for Ricardo Areca will have as well some special condiments. Was precisely against the Vinotinto that the Argentinian manager made his debut as the Peruvian coach. That match in 2015 ended with the Venezuela's victory, but after that Peru faced Venezuela 6 other times and won 3 and draw another 3. But on Tuesday El Tigre has the obligation to take the 3 points in Caracas to keep the dream alive. The reverse fixture was 1-0 for Peru, and the last time in Caracas for a CONMEBOL qualifying, that was 2017, that game finished in a draw, 2-2. Against Bolivia, Peru showed that the backbone of the team is formed by Alexander Callens in defense, Sergio Pena in midfield, and Gianluca Lapadula in attack. Those three together with Tapia and with Cueva are the highest points of Peru's road to Qatar. Callens, a key player in the New York Red Bull in the United States, is becoming very, very difficult to pass on one-to-one situations. He is fast, he is composed on the ball. In the last 12 games as a starter, he only received one yellow card. Gareca will need this group of players to perform on the same level that they have done it on Thursday. And for Venezuela, what I saw on Thursday, Edu, against the Ecuador in Quito was by far, for me at least, the best game of the Vinotinto since the interim manager Leo González took over in September. They were stable in defense, they were dangerous on the counter-attack, especially during the first half, and they denied Ecuador the spaces they always crave to exploit their speed. In that first half, Venezuela could have gotten ahead with Darwin Machis, which was the man of the match, but he saw his effort going wide, and the only downside on that first half was that Rafael Romo, who as we spoke last week was in goal and left Fariñez on the bench, could have done a little bit more for the goal from Piero Incapié. But even though they ended up empty-handed, I think that the feeling in the Vinotinto after the game was not that bad. Edu, despite Peru, as you were saying, losing their last 3 away games on the road to Qatar, and despite Venezuela not losing against Peru at home the last 4 times they faced each other, I believe Peru, after what happened on Thursday, has the edge for this encounter. Venezuela conceded at least a goal in their last 9 games. A draw at half time had odds of 1.99, but Peru winning the second half had odds of 2.89. If you put your money on Peru to score first, that counts with odds of 1.99, and a goal after the 67th minute of the match comes with odds of 1.83. Because why I'm saying this last market, I expect a tight game which can be resolved in the last 25, half an hour of the game.
Okay, I highlight this draw at halftime if we expect a tense game, and also Peru to take the lead. This is a must win for Gareca's men. Then let's jump to Colombia. Colombia, Paraguay. I'm sure in Colombia they are not happy with their national team. It's true, they only lost 1-0 against Brazil. It's always almost impossible to get a point from Brazilian soil. But Leo, 4 winless games without scoring a single goal. Yeah. Rueda was very criticized in the last international break, especially we see the potential that they have in the attacking line. Luis Diaz, Zapata, Cuadrado, they all played up front against Brazil, but still the national team is not scoring. But now against Paraguay, who lost in the debut of Barros Schelotto, I guess Colombia have to win this game to jump again to the direct spots to Qatar.
Yes, absolutely. 376 minutes without celebrating for Reinaldo's Rueda's team. There is no explanation up to a point of why the top Colombian scorers in their teams are unable to find the net for the national team. To start with, maybe something I could say is that at least with the Verde Amarela, both Duban Zapata and Miguel Borja fulfill a very different mandate, a very different role from the one they know how to fulfill in Atalanta and Gremio in their cases. Of course, it was not an easy match for Colombia. You said it's never easy to play Brazil in home soil. Brazil never lost a qualification game in home soil in their history. Again, as we have seen in the Copa America and in Barranquilla, Reinaldo Rueda knew that with an intelligent and conservative approach, I would say, he could make some troubles to test team at least for 45 minutes. The work of the defense and the wingers in that first half was vital for Colombia. Zapata, Diaz and Wilmar Barrios had their chances to score, whereas Brazil in that first half did not even tackle David Ospina. But for the second half, yes, Brazil pressed the accelerator and locked Colombia in their own half and managed to score the winner with Lucas Paqueta. The Cafeteros did not react after that. They were upset with Tobar, the Chilean referee, who showed yellow cards to Barrios and to Mojica, and both will miss the game tomorrow. The problem with Tobar is that he didn't measure fouls, I think, with the same standard. Neymar should have seen a red card, for example. And on the other hand, Paraguay will try to repeat the victory they took in 2017 on the road to Russia when they won 1-2. Guillermo Barros Schelotto did not have a dream debut against Chile. His team showed the same lack of creativity that they showed with Eduardo Berizzo. Miguel Almirón was given more freedom, more liberty, but was not influential at all during the match. Schelotto spoke of recovering ground with a victory in Colombia. They know that 3 points won't take them to a playoff position, but will leave them only 1 point behind the Cafeteros. The Argentine said yesterday that he does not expect an open game, that he thinks it's going to be a close and a very tactical game in Colombia. Still, I believe Colombia are the favorite for this one. I always expect that their quality up front will finally reap results. Colombia to win 2-0 has odds of 2.38. I would also look at halftime, full-time market with Colombia having the upper hand in both, which has odds of 2.5. And with that in mind, I also look at Colombia scoring in both halves, which has odds of 2.88.
We were talking, Leo, about the problems for Colombia when they are attacking. They have not scored in the last 4, but the same we can say about Paraguay. 3 defeats in a row, 4 games without scoring. Therefore, the bookies don't expect many goals in this game. Under two goals is only paid 2.31. So you get your money back if there are two goals. The bookies don't expect, as we can imagine, goals, because Colombia and Paraguay, they both have a lot of trouble to score goals. Then the game of the games, Argentina, Brazil. The last official game in Argentina was in 2015, and there was a draw, as everyone can remember. We couldn't see the reverse fixture because of the COVID situation and this bizarre situation we saw in Brazilian ground. But Leo, we checked the odds for this game, and we can see Argentina favorite. They are not conceding goals. They played really well their last game in home soil against Uruguay. Even when Messi is not playing, Di Maria is coming to rescue the team. Of course, in our memories, the game in Copa America in the final, Brazil always suffering. They always get the result, but they are not playing great football. What do you expect here? Because, of course, the points are not that important. Brazil is already qualified. Argentina will qualify, but always Argentina-Brazil is important.
Absolutely. It's a match apart. No, it doesn't matter sometimes how they arrive to that game. In that case, Brazil already qualified. Argentina is almost there as well. But it looks like today I'm not agreeing too much with the bookies. I think that Brazil is the favorite for me at least to win. I have a huge always respect for Brazil. The good news for everyone watching in that regard is that Brazil to win has odds of 3.26, which is not bad at all.
Massive.
Argentina did not play well with Uruguay. A beauty from Di Maria was enough, but Lionel Scaloni's team, or the Scaloneta, as everyone is calling them at home, had problems to control the game. They suffered with the intensity and pressure of Uruguay in the first half and did not produce much in attack. The version of Argentina we saw in Montevideo was closer to the one we saw in the Copa America than in the last few qualifiers they played in September and October. A team that scores first and then tries to close ranks close to Emiliano Martinez, who was, again, the man of the match. Argentina now took the run of games without defeat to 26. Dibu Martinez, listen, has only played Edu official matches with the Albiceleste, 14 matches between the Copa America and CONMEBOL qualifiers, and not even a single friendly. In 10 of those 14 games, he kept a clean sheet. He's doing
amazing.
Great, absolutely, with the national team. The first big news on Friday came before the match, when we got to know that Messi was not playing. He came on for the last 20 minutes and he didn't look fit, to be honest, at least for myself. I believe it was the right decision not to play him. But furthermore, I believe he should be given a full rest, Brazil included. It has been a very hectic month since winning the Copa America. Messi did not have a preseason training. And I think now that with PSG in League One is all in a good place with 10-point difference, now that the Champions League qualification is kind of secure for them, now the qualification for Qatar is almost secure as well, why not give him the chance to rest? The answer is that he always wants to play with Albiceleste. So in a way, I love to see him caring so much about the national team. But in the other hand, as an Argentina I am, I would like him to arrive to Qatar in the best physical shape possible and as fresh as possible as well. But he will play tomorrow, no doubt about it. And on the other hand, Brazil also had to fight for their victory against Colombia. This victory meant, as I was mentioning before, when talking about Colombia, that they never lost a match in home soil. The record now goes to 60 games without losing. It's just incredible.
Incredible.
The game against Argentina will be played not in Buenos Aires, not in the Monumental, but in San Juan. Yesterday there were like 4 kilometers queue to get tickets for this match, so people is going crazy about watching Argentina and Brazil. I expect Vinicius to start. He came from the bench against Colombia but did very well. Tite needs to take, in my opinion, full advantage of his current form. So yes, I repeat, for me the favorite is Brazil. An Asian handicap of -0.25 for Brazil has odds of 2.64. both teams to score has odds of 2.05. And Brazil to score first has odds of 2.3. Finally, Neymar to score anytime has odds of 2.5. And Messi to score anytime during the match has odds of 2.1.
But this is not anymore Messi against Neymar, as you were saying. Messi is not in form. And Neymar, neither actually. Brazil, the last heroes were Rafinha in the last international break. And as you mentioned, Lucas Paqueta also scoring in the Copa America, the Olympic Lyon player. And also against Colombia, what a game. Argentina-Brazil, not that important for the road to Qatar, but still. Yeah. Argentina-Brazil, the next one, the last one, it is very important for the road to Qatar. We have Chile-Ecuador, probably the most optimistic of the Chileans, or only Leo Batshuayi was expecting Chile to be fourth at this stage of the qualifications, because they are making a miracle after so bad results in this start of the road to Qatar. They beat Paraguay. Now they've won three games in a row after also beating Venezuela and Paraguay in the last international break. Leo, so you mentioned how difficult are their next fixtures. They must beat Ecuador, who is the big surprise of this qualification. They are still third. They made the job against Venezuela. What do you expect here in this Chile-Ecuador? Probably not many goals.
Not many goals, but Chile the favorite for me for this one, Edu. You know, I was listening to an Ecuadorian journalist during the weekend that said something very, very true, that if Aladdin appeared to Ecuador and offered the three free wishes before the Venezuela match, Alfaro would have responded. First wish, to beat Venezuela. Second wish, Colombia and Uruguay to lose. Third wish, that Brazil and Argentina come to Quito already qualified, when we have to face them. Well, it seems that the genie had said granted, because everything went that way. There was one thing that depended on Alfaro and not on the genie, and that was to play well against the Vino Tinto, and that did not happen at all. But I don't think the Ecuadorian fans will care too much about that when they look at the table and they see that they have now a 4 points gap with the fourth and the fifth. Basically, no matter what happens in Santiago, Ecuador will finish November round of fixture in the third place. Ecuador haven't won in any of their last five away qualifiers. They will have the goal scorer Michael Estrada returning, the same for Pervis Estupiñán on the left hand side of the defense. Alfaro, I believe, will plan for a match very similar to the one in Barranquilla, where he left with a point. Basically, very tight and close lines and trying to counterattack. This is a reflection of one stat. They haven't scored in four out of the six games they played away on the road to Qatar so far. And for Chile, Edu, yes, again, the old guard impressed in Asunción. Bravo responded every time his team needed him. Three clean sheets in a row now for him, for Claudio Bravo. Arturo Vidal was the owner of the midfield, and Alexis, the goal scorer and the man of the match. Seems incredible, no, that this same team left such a bucolic image in Lima a month ago, from zero to heroes, definitely for Chilean's team. A victory tomorrow, and they will not only be 1 point behind the three, but almost sure on a direct qualification place as well, if all the results go their way. The only trouble for La Roja is that Ben Brereton reached his second yellow card in Asunción, and he won't be available for this one. I will expect Bravo, Edu, to reach four clean sheets in a row. So Chile to win 2-0 has odds of 2.8. Alexis Sanchez to score anytime has odds of 2.2. And remember, he will be the main attacking threat for Manuel Lasarte's team. Ben Brereton, I repeat again, won't play this match. And for those looking at Ecuador odds, a double chance for the three has odds of 2.07, or an Asian handicap of 0 for Ecuador has odds of 3.5.
very high odds for Ecuador, actually, but Leo is tipping especially Chile to win 2-0. Remember that Ecuador only won in Bolivia when they are playing away, but they are getting all their points when they are playing at home in Ecuador. Then, Leo, this is going to be with a lot of passion, this match day. Number 14th in the CONMEBOL qualifiers. Give us also your ACA to finish the video.
If you think that Ecuadorian odds are high, just wait to listen the odds of my ACA, okay? All right. Bolivia against Uruguay, full-time win or full-time result going the way for Bolivia. In Venezuela, Peru, in my ACA, I have a draw at halftime. In Colombia, Paraguay, I will go for the halftime, full-time market in both instances for Colombia to win. Brazil, Argentina against Brazil, Brazil first team to score. And Chile against Ecuador, Chile to win 2-0. That leaves me with an amazing ACA of 96.42. What do you think about that, Edu?
Well, if you nail that, Leo, I'm going to invite you for lunch, dinner, or whatever. We place 10 euros on that and we get as much as 1,000. We always say that Alvaro is adventurous. For sure, you've eaten good food this morning. Let's hope we get this ACA nailed, as Alvaro or Dani, for instance, they do very often, and we can get a lot of money, but it's always very difficult to bet in the CONMEBOL. We always said that these games give us a lot of surprises. Then, Leo, as always, thank you, and see you very soon. Keep enjoying football.
Yeah. We will see you in January then. Okay, bye-bye, Edu.
Really, really high ACA for Leo, more than 90. Do you trust his ACA? Let me know what you think about the tips and predictions for this match day. And don't forget, click on the like if you enjoy our video, subscribe to our channel, and click on the bell to get notifications. Or if you prefer, we have also a podcast for you. See you very soon, and thanks for watching.